Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
It has been buried for thousands of years. A mystery. A secret. A threshold to the future.
Where'd you find this? I've never seen anything like this.
One man will break the code and open the door.
Well, this should read Stargate.
That was in front of us the whole time.
The other will lead the way.
Why are you here?
I'm here in case you succeed.
Jackson's identified the seventh symbol.
Backup storage, reserve power, on.
What is that?
It's your Stargate.
We've opened a doorway to a world we know nothing about.
The beam has locked itself onto a point somewhere in the Kalium galaxy.
It's on the other side of the known universe.
Your turn now.
They prepared for danger.
Begin final evacuation.
They expected the unknown.
Stabilizing system.
Initiated commencement sequence.
But they could never have imagined this.
Shoot anything that comes down that ramp.
Your job here is to realign the Stargate. Can you do that or not?
I can't.
What the hell is going on?
My orders were simple. Track down signs of any possible danger. Well, I found some.
I can't make it work without the seventh symbol.
No!
You got 7 minutes.
Now, the most amazing discovery of our time.
Jackson, wait for me.
Is about to become the most extraordinary adventure of all time. Kurt Russell, James Spader, Jay Davidson. Stargate. A Roland Emmerich film.
Hello and welcome to Ancient Egypt, a beautiful place filled with rich history, and you can't say Pharaoh than that. However, the view Sphinx, and everybody is in denial. This week we'll be joining some weird geezers and boarding a chariot of the gods to see just what happens when you put our head through an ancient old ring. Yes, it's Stargate. And joining me to realise there's no doorbells in Egypt, so he'll have to toot and come in, is Dan Thomas.
Morning. I think we're done now. Yeah. Clearly, we're not... That's peaked. That's you've peaked there. That was, what, seven puns in a row?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't do better than that. Thanks for having me on. Bye. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I've got this weird affliction that if anyone mentions anything to do with ancient Egypt, my brain has to get those jokes out.
Really? That's a very specific neurological damage.
Yeah, it's annoying. We were at a friend's recently and he announced he was going on holiday to Egypt and I just had sitting there going, I have to do these jokes. I did them.
Well, I hope you get over it.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to it? You should go to Egypt and see if it gets you... Maybe it's, you know, get it knocked out of you. Because if you try doing them there, they'll beat the piss out of you.
Trouble is, I don't want to sound like a British person, but the last two people, I've not spoken to the friend who's been there since, but the last two people I know who went there came back with like mega shits. So I don't think I want to go there.
Well, take your own bottled water and your own puns and you'll be fine.
Yeah, that's true. So, Dan Thomas, why did we pick Stargate?
Well, we wanted to do something and I like it. I like revisiting old films with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we, especially this one, I hadn't seen in 25 years. I now realise, and I used to watch it a lot in the '90s, and I thought it was fine. And I thought, if I watch it now, I bet it'll, from nostalgia, I'll absolutely love it. That's not what happened. I just, it is, as we are recording this, it is 10:30 in the morning. I woke up at 8:30 to watch this fucking thing on a Sunday. And it is, maybe that's part of it, but I hated this. Because we obviously when we do a podcast, it's not like sitting down and watching a film. You take notes and stuff like that and you analyse it a bit more than you ordinarily would. Mm. But this is the dumbest fucking film. It doesn't make any sense. I remember reading about it in Starburst when I was 14.
Mm.
And even then, I don't know, it wouldn't happen now, but the press guys hadn't stopped the actors being interviewed and going, well, when I read the script, I thought it was shit, but I needed the money. Right? You know, that's actual James Spader. He used to say that back then. And yeah. I remember thinking, it's fine. It's not that bad. He's just being grumpy. Mm. Watching it now, I'm like, no, he's right. This is absolute dog shit.
I remember it being good, you know. I remember, I think maybe it's because it was the first big one they did before Independence Day.
Well, he had done Universal Soldier. And this is, I'm sitting here watching this, and I texted you like an hour ago, going, I got 45 minutes left to go, and it's been an hour and 15 with no action. It's an action film with no fucking action in it.
Yeah.
And that's baffling, because I've seen, and I might be wrong about this now, but I remember Universal Soldier being pretty action-packed.
I don't remember anything about that film apart from a necklace of ears.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the Ice-T's Body Count did a song for it.
But it starts off with a big action scene at, like, the dam. That's an action scene. There's trucks smashing into other trucks. This has got fuck all. This is just mainly people talking in rooms.
Well, it's also weird because you realise that it's Roland Emmerich and Dean Devlin, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just cherry picking from other films. And I think when I first saw this, I was too young to realise that's what was happening. Because there's lots of Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Oh yeah,
inspiration here.
Oh yeah, I mean most of it is like, so they've ripped this off from Aliens, they've ripped this off from, I mean, Lawrence Arabia. They literally said we want to make Lawrence Arabia in space.
Yeah, did they?
No, they were like, why hasn't anyone ever made Lawrence Arabia in space? You boys read Dune, have you? What if you did shit Dune?
It's like the opposite of David Lean. It would be like David, full fat.
Yeah, chunky Dave.
Chunky Dave. That's what they've done here. Oh, it's a shame because it's. I mean, we might as well say it now because we'd said it off air. The music doesn't deserve this film.
No, and I mean, this was. I had a quick look at the trivia. Mm. This was David Arnold's big break because he was, when he got hired to do this, he was working at like an HMV in London.
Yeah,
and he had done some scores for one full length film, but I'm not sure it was a big one. And a couple of short things, but he got recommended to Emmerich, and he did this, and it's incredible. It really gives the film an epic scale that I don't think without it. I mean, I'm glad they went with him. Is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think if they go with their first choice, Chas and Dave would have fucked it. I think.
I don't know. They might have improved it.
Snoop, Luke, me, Ryan, me. Now, next, this is not working.
You don't stop reading hieroglyphics. Give it a rest. I mean, like you say, he was not a professional. Well, he was a professional, but he wasn't like he is now.
Yeah.
And he just knocks it out of the park. It's such a good score.
Yeah.
And I think that elevates this film above the water a bit.
I think that my first note that I wrote was like, yeah, it was big break. Yeah, he makes it. Because, and I love the fact that there is an opening credit sequence, which you don't really get anymore. That really, it's just the full. It's like Lawrence of Arabia, where it starts with the suite.
Mm.
So straight away you're like, oh, this is going to be good. This is going to be exciting.
Mm.
And then I'll be honest, the first 15 minutes, I was like, this is all right, you know.
Yeah.
But it was just all set up.
Yeah, and I had realised that the beginning of this film I'd completely confused with or thrown in with the beginning of The Fifth Element.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, okay.
I'd remembered that the big fat aliens turned up. And
it's not dissimilar.
No.
Production design.
No, it's not. And The Mummy, Shades of The Mummy, but Mummy's after this, isn't it? But
yeah.
Yeah. So we start off in 1928 in Egypt, and an old professor is called to a site with his young daughter Catherine.
I do like this bit. I feel like every third film back in this period started off with a Middle Eastern man yelling at a white man, "Professor, professor, yeah, look!" Yeah. And I miss that.
And he comes through and he's just showing him a wart on his knee. Is this all right? I don't know. Might not be. Get it checked out.
I'm not that sort of doctor, mate.
What about... No, don't put your trousers down. You see, they found some Egyptian hieroglyphic things, and then next to it, they found like a giant polo.
Yeah. Yeah, big grey polo thing. Mm. And they thought, I tell you what we'll do. Instead of leaving it, yeah, we will all as a team lift it up onto its narrowest edge, which in no way is a risk to it falling on top of us.
Or
it just looks better. Or it's shattering, because we don't know what it's made of.
No. They should have called this film Chariaments of the Gods. It'd be good, wouldn't it?
Well, it could be worse.
Yeah, true. Yeah, so there we go. But then we cut to present day, which in our world is 1994.
Very much, yeah.
Yeah, and we meet Daniel Jackson, James Spader.
Who's in a hotel in the middle of the day, giving a talk on Egyptian history,
yeah,
which is sold out. There's like 80 people. I'd be glad to get these numbers, right, on a Thursday night. And then I don't know who the fuck is going to win of these things. And then he says something like, oh, do you know what? I reckon the pyramids weren't built by people. And then everyone just goes, ah, oh, fuck this.
Yeah,
and
they're like, who by? Aliens? Ha!
And then they leave. I would, if anything, that's going to make the talk more interesting.
Yeah.
But they'd like, no, we're off.
He should have done that. Pyramids were made by aliens, changed my mind.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was a different time, wasn't it? Yeah.
But the young girl from the beginning is now an old lady.
Yeah, yeah.
Played by the lady from Creepshow, who's in Father's Day.
Oh, interesting.
See, I've done such good research, I can tell you that, but I can't remember her name.
I can't remember him. She's really good. I will say this. They always get really good actors. Devlin and Emmerich always get really good, usually New York stage actors. Mm. Like, everyone's doing a really good job in this.
Yeah.
But to what end?
To what end? Now, she comes to see him and says, oh, you know your stuff.
Well, she brings the Air Force with her. She brings two guys from the Air Force, and they stop him as he's coming out of this rain-soaked hotel with his two bits of baggage and usher him into a limousine. Hmm. And honestly, it gives you the impression this is and offers him a job, a translation job. Now then, I know this was pre-email, but there's other ways to offer somebody a job.
Yeah. Do you think that all those people left his talk because they'd come thinking he was going to talk about the pyramid mint chocolate thing that was around in the 80s?
Now, what was the pyramid mint chocolate thing?
It was a bit like the walnut whip, but it had mint in it.
Terry's Pyramid. I can't think of a better way to unwind.
Terry's Pyramid, mummies and daddy's loving.
Do you think they've gone, at last, someone's doing an hour-long lecture?
I'm going to get, even though it just says Egypt, historical Egypt talk, pyramid, I'm going to assume that at some point he will talk about the walnut whip.
With mint in it.
With mint in it. That's my guess. I've come along. I've taken a day off work for this to come and watch what I hope is the bloke from White Heat. I think I'm right. Is it White Heat? What's he from? Sex Lies and Videotape, anyway. Talking about walnut whip mints.
Mm.
And he didn't, so I left.
He probably wants to put it up Andy McDowell's bum from Sex Lies and Videotape.
I've come here in the hope that I will, in the middle of a day, in a public room, in a hotel, I will see a man put a walnut whip up Andy McDowell's arsehole. And if I don't, I'm leaving.
How was it, darling?
Do you know what? He didn't do it.
What did he talk about?
Oh, aliens or something.
Oh, rubbish.
I told him to shove it up his arse, I said. But he didn't know what that meant, because he didn't know what I had going on internally, that I thought he was going to put a walnut whip up Andy McDowell's arsehole.
He just looked really confused.
He looked really sad.
He kept asking me why I'd come to this lecture about ancient Egypt.
And I thought, I can't tell him, because I'll sound silly.
So she says, well, you better come with us because you've been evicted from where you live, and everybody thought your lecture was boring.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's one other piece of information.
Oh, yeah.
For some reason, she goes, oh, are these your parents? And he goes, foster parents, thereby foreshadowing the fact that nobody gives a fuck about him on Earth. And at the end, he can just live on an alien planet with a bit of...
Oh, God. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Oh,
yeah.
God. Do you reckon that was... They'd got to the end of the script and gone, finished. And then one went, oh, no, what if...
people. Oh, what if his dad loves him?
Oh, we'll go back and put that line in.
Oh, we'll put. Oh, no, is that a picture of your dad? Yeah, he reckons I'm a cunt. Oh, fine then.
Oh my God! So she takes him to the lab where Richard Kind is there.
Lovely Richard Kind. Lovely Richard wonderful Kind. Richard Kind.
We find out that him and his mates have been working on this giant thing for 3 years.
Yeah, thick as pig shit. But
thick as shit.
Because the thing is, it's not. And James Spader's there for 2 weeks before going, what if it was? What if that pattern there is the same as one of the more famous patterns in human history, Orion? Oh, yeah.
We should talk about Kurt Russell because he's at home in his son's bedroom contemplating shooting himself.
Yeah. Well, right. Yeah. Now then. Yeah. I mean, this is where I've written the first one. Yeah. So this is the alien setup because later on, he's got to have a develop a friendship with a young boy.
A young boy,
right? Yep. And there's nothing dodgy about it. No. He offers him a fag and says, "Puff on that." He says,
"This is the day days before paedophilia. It's fine."
Yeah, it was fine, and before cancer apparently.
Oh yeah,
and so it's he's lost his son.
Yes, we find out his son accidentally shot himself with his gun.
Yeah, exactly. I love to be sympathetic, but also it pans across and. There's pictures of the kid, and he's like a baseball fan. He's wearing a Mets T-shirt. So no great loss.
Hey!
that's for three people. But also, how are you supposed to feel sorry? Because the two guys who come to... Again, where's the email? Yeah. We've come to let you know you've been reactivated. I will just leave you to sit looking sad in your room with a gun. I'm sure we'll see you Tuesday in the office.
Well, they say to his wife, is he there? And she's like, oh, good luck.
Good, like he's in the child's bedroom with a gun. Yeah. You know what? We might fax. We might go away and do a fax.
I've been feeding him on cheese and crackers. Why? Is there something wrong with it? It's just the only thing that'll go out of the door. But yeah, his plan to get over his grief. I'm not a grief counsellor. I don't know if I want to make that clear.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's therapeutic to sit in your son's bedroom who shot himself with your gun. With a gun, looking at pictures of your son. No. I think your mind will make associations with that.
Sure. Kurt Russell's like, oh, I hadn't thought of it that way. Yeah. I'm going to go for a jog.
Yeah, exactly.
Without the gun.
Have a wank. Not in your son's bedroom. That's... No.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Well, it does.
He's not here anymore.
Disrespectful, though, isn't it?
If anything, you could turn this... Get rid of the bed, get rid of his stuff and call it the wanking chamber. You can do what you want, no?
Absolutely. Put bin liners everywhere.
Or just laminate flooring.
Laminate flooring. Or, you know, make love to your wife.
Oh, she's in the other room. Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah, just have a wank.
Yeah. I could put a hole in the wall. So he's asked to come back. He's been reactivated, as you say. James Spader arrives at the military lab, meets Richard Kind and everything, and then immediately goes, yeah, these are all the points of Orion, and there's like six, seven points of space travel. And I did like that what dates this more than anything else is in these days he'd come in with like an iPad or a touch screen. But he unfurls this giant map of the star system.
Yeah, I do like that. Entire
I like that as well. Yeah. And Richard Kind's like, oh, I'm so stupid. Oh. That's his character.
That is his character.
Yeah. And then they start talking about bits and pieces, and Kurt Russell stops him and says, this is all classified.
Kurt Russell is really good in this.
He is amazing. He looks great as well.
He looks fantastic. It's interesting because Kurt Russell was never like one of the big stars. Mm-mm. Like he was nobody ever went, oh, we've got to see the new Kurt Russell.
No.
But he was always solid. But he almost like he never, unlike Harrison Ford or a bunch of other people who were big stars at the time, he didn't really have a quality to him that was like, oh, that's what a Kurt Russell film is.
Yes.
He's a character actor. He's this is because he's very stoic in this because he had a wank and shot his kid.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's the same guy who's playing Jack Burton, who's this amazing lively character, and Snake Plissken and Elvis. He never really played the same character twice, which is maybe the reason he never became like a proper megastar.
Yes, and a lot of the films that are now considered classics fucking bombed when they came out as well, which didn't help.
Of his films, yet this did quite well.
Isn't that weird? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so the stones are now part of a classified project, and Jackson, he works out the hieroglyphics, refer to a Stargate, which uses constellations. So he draws pictures to explain.
Yeah. And he's done this in 2 weeks. And I feel that he would have figured it out.
But what gets me is that the US colonel people obviously know exactly what it means, because when he draws the picture, one of them goes, "My God, he did it." And you're like, well, if you knew it was that, why didn't you do that 3 years ago?
Yeah, this is the first bit I was like, this is messy. Like, do they know what it is? Because sometimes it feels like the military knows exactly what it is, and sometimes it's like, oh, we don't know. It could be a big cock ring. We don't know. And it's never quite clear how much information the military has about this bleeding thing.
Richard Keel comes in and goes, oh, thanks, I lost that when I was on holiday in Egypt. Yeah,
exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so they've had this thing for, what, 66 years?
Yeah.
And he's worked this out in, what, 5-10 minutes?
Oh, it's one point it does say 2 weeks later.
Oh, you're right, 2 weeks.
So he's had 2 weeks, but everyone else is at... So in fact, this Leon Rippey is the general's like, so they tell me you figured out in 2 weeks what these boys couldn't do in 2 years.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, because I saw somebody holding up... Because he's nicked a paper from somebody.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There was, for some reason, in... What was it? He sees the guy reading a newspaper article about stars or something.
Something about that, yeah.
News Today, stars are still there. Oh, yeah. Good. It's a good thing I read this paper today, then.
He sees someone watching the Two Ronnies hieroglyphic sketch and goes, my God, he's going to pull two birds at the bull and bush.
How does this help us?
With fantastic door furnitures. It was the key. With all things, it was Ronnie Barker. He's just responsible for everything. So they then work it all out, and they have this machine already set up that they put the giant gate in.
Exactly. They must have set up an entire thing. They must have bleeding known.
Yeah. And I like this effect. Obviously, it's completely ripped off from The Abyss. But the effect of when the wormhole opens, you get that sort of splash in the water coming out.
It does look really good. Now, when I was a kid, I thought that was CGI, but actually it isn't, because it's too high depth. So when it shimmers, when it settles down, that's CGI. But when the whirlpool effect comes out, they filmed that and superimposed it onto it.
Yeah.
And it looks really cool.
It looks great.
But I do get why CGI became popular, because that, imagine the faff. Of having to get that effect, because you've got to match the angle of what you shot on this. Some poor devil has spent 3 weeks, right, in his house with a camera, a fish tank, and a ladle swirling it round.
Yeah.
And his wife's like, what are you doing? I'm working on a big space film. All right, Glyn, have a lie down. Yeah, no, space. His Egyptian's going to come out of this. He's on the pills again.
Have a bit of pyramid and shut up.
Yeah. Do you want to shove a walnut whip up my arsehole? Will that calm you down?
As long as you take the nut out first.
Oh, that's the fun bit.
Because, we should talk about that, because the effects in this aren't great, are they?
No, I kind of wrote that down, because the other big effect that's later on is the thing that I think we first had in Batman, where the shield comes off the thing, and they kind of do that with the headgear of the Ra's guard later on. And at the time, I think, oh, that looked really cool. But you watch it now, and it is shonky as fuck.
It's really bad. I mean, the spaceship effects, and this effect particularly, are great. But it's really the mask I'm talking about. When the masks come off, it looks bad.
Yeah, that's bad. And I think some of the model work isn't that good later on.
But I'm guessing the budget wasn't huge.
Budget was all right. I think it was about 60 million, which is a chunk of change back then.
Jay Davison got $1 million.
I know, because he said, I don't want to do it. We want you to do it. Yeah. Give me £1 million then, pricks. All right. And then I think he was immediately like, right, I'm doing this. And then after that, I will do literally nothing again for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Modelling, apparently. That's what he's been doing.
Modelling, and I believe he's now like a stylist in the modelling industry. He's doing fine, but he's got £1 million in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I hate this.
Yeah. I don't blame him.
Don't blame him at all.
No. Probably had to sit next to Richard Kind at the premiere.
I apparently didn't go. Oh. Apparently, the last time he was in the film industry, he was, because he hated wearing the clothes, and apparently when they said cut on his last day, he literally stripped naked on the set, didn't go back to his trailer, got in the car and fucked off out of the industry, which I really admire.
Yeah, that is good. So the wormhole's opened. They send in a little giant probe robot thing. Reaches an arm in, and I just thought, what if an alien on the other side's having a shit?
Well, what if a bunch of stuff
appears out of nowhere?
That would have been a much funnier.
He's reading the Egyptian Times, sitting on the bog.
Yeah, it could be like the golden eye start. It was just like an alien having a shit and a little robot going, sorry, forgot to knock. And then belts him.
So the probe then comes back with the information that there is oxygen.
Yeah.
And then we get a classic bit of...
So do they know what it is? Because they've obviously got this probe. So like it probably goes to another planet. I just don't get what they know. Because also, but a
minute
ago...
it does tell them where it is in the...
it says where they are, but they've got this probe thing. But it's not like it's like, oh, we'll get a probe then. They must know that it's a teleportation thing. But they keep going, oh, we don't know who built it. Which is amazing, because there's a close-up at one point when they finally get it working. They go, oh, it's made of a mineral unknown to Earth. And then there's a close-up of some of the mechanisms moving, and it looks cheap as fuck. Yeah. Oh, who built this? I don't know. You asked Hasbro. Fucking shit. And, but yeah, the whole film is very confusing.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, right, yeah, it definitely is.
But we get the classic trope of someone literally says, freeze and enhance.
Yeah.
And someone freezes a bit of video they've taken from the other side of the Stargate, zooms in on it, and then it becomes perfect clarity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Matt, I mean, we all knew that was a lie when we first got dial-up computers and tried to download pornography.
Just, I love the idea of you in 1995 just yelling at your computer, just tears in your eyes going, enhance, I can't
it's
see like
that being Blade Runner, except I'm crying, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Give me a 30-degree angle.
She's already having one, mate.
So then, Jackson, they're talking about sending a reconnaissance team through. And Jackson goes, well, what are you going to do when you get there? You can't read anything. How are you going to get back? So Jackson says he can translate on the side. And they say, okay, you're in the team. So then Catherine comes up to him and says, look, I'm really impressed with what you've done here in 2 weeks with these pricks. I've been spending 2 years doing nothing. Oh, pardon me, I'm belching.
They're not even Egyptologists, these boys.
No. I found them in the cafeteria.
Yeah. Do it with a walnut whip up them.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
So she says, look, I'll give you this necklace you saw her buying when she was a little kid from a market.
Yeah.
It's my lucky necklace. And he goes, oh, I gave you a bloody... No, he doesn't say that.
No, yeah. It's got Hello Kitty on it. Where the fuck did you buy this again? shut up.
I put it on, instantly got the shits. So she says, yeah, take this with you. And you're thinking, well, this won't mean anything.
Yeah.
So then he joins O'Neill and his team, one of which is French Stewart.
I love the fact that French Stewart's... It's so weird that the guy from... The dopey one from Third Rock from the Sun is playing a Marine.
Do you think spending all this time in the desert made him do that squinting eyes thing he did for the rest of his career?
Yeah, maybe. It is. He's not very good in this.
No, he's not.
To be fair, he's not bad, but it's like he hasn't got a Marine's build.
No.
He does look like he should be playing the dopey one from the sitcom. It's like freaking Jason Alexander from Seinfeld and Aliens. That's what it's like.
To be fair.
They laid an egg in my throat, Jerry. They did what? An egg in my throat.
So they emerge in the pyramid, and it's like a mirror image. Like they walk out, and there's beautiful desert and everything. And James Spader just goes, "I knew it." You knew what?
Well, you would knew what? What? That there's deserts. You don't know where you are right now.
Exactly. You could be in Croydon.
In fact, I assumed that they had gone to Egypt to film this.
So did I, yeah.
No. It's just Arizona. Yep. Honestly, if they turn the camera around, there's a Dunkin' Donuts right there.
So then James Spader goes, right, we're here, brilliant. What I'll do now is I'll get all of the symbols we need to go back home. And, oh no, I can't, there's one missing.
Yeah, you know, bit of trouble, boys. Don't get angry, you're going to laugh.
Yeah.
We're fucked.
They live with him.
They're so livid. To be fair, it doesn't feel like there's been much planning here. Going, oh, can you get us back? Yeah, definitely. Mm. All right, and can we just double check what the plan is? Just listen. The source of this is trust me, bro. Right, right. I'll find it. And they're like, well, what if you don't? Well, then you're fucked. Why send everyone through? Send him through, and if he doesn't come back, you leave it.
Anyway, so he's like, he's been shunned by the group, and they throw his suitcase down there. Hill. So he goes to go and get it, and we meet a little cow that looks like a big cow that looks like Willie Nelson. Yeah.
There's a bit of on IMDb trivia. It says the four-legged alien creatures are actually a horse wearing a costume. I was like, no. Yeah, we do know.
You didn't
have to put that in the spoilers section, dickhead.
Yeah. So he starts petting it, and then Kurt Russell goes, "I wouldn't go near that thing." And he goes, "It's all right. It's got a harness." Could be a pervert.
It could be, yeah, exactly. This is the Tory MP for...
but it drags him off.
Not like that.
Not
oh,
like
no, wait.
That.
Yeah. Also, this is bollocks. Even as a 14-year-old watching this, going, he stands vaguely on the rope that's attached to this alien horse thing, and it somehow yanks, you know, drags him across the desert.
Yeah, it yanks him off in front
yanks
of everybody.
Yanks him off in front of everybody, yeah.
And says, well, what a good boy am I. So they then realise that there's another tribe of humans. And it turns out that they sort of speak a form of ancient Egyptian.
Yeah. Which Spader vaguely doesn't know, but recognises as a language. I don't know how he can do that. He goes, it's one of these three types. But can you speak it? Nah.
So we get the trope here of, because he's wearing that necklace, everyone thinks he's sort of a holy god figure.
Yeah, I'd forgotten that. Yeah,
it's a bit annoying. This film is unfortunately one of those white savior films that are quite
absolutely
annoying.
Absolutely.
Yeah, where everybody's too stupid to have figured out that these people who are wearing actual masks are wearing masks.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
There's a bit at the end where they finally reveal the guard, and it's like this. So they're working at this mineral mine.
Yeah.
And there's like 10,000 of these guys working there. And there's one guard, Jimon Hounsou, is in charge of all of it.
Poor old Jimon Hounsou, yeah.
And he's like, oh, do you know what? I'm glad they shot me because this is bullshit as a job.
Yeah.
But there's a bit there where they meet. I put down that he was like the slave master, but he's not because he's one of the humans.
Hmm.
He's just working there. So maybe he's like a foreman.
Yeah.
Whatever he is, but he seems to be vaguely in charge because there are no guards around. And he goes, and it's James Spader. First thing he does is, do you want a Mars bar?
Yeah.
Like, you don't know anything about these people. Do you remember how smallpox got brought from the new to the new world? Yeah. You're going to give everyone fucking type 2 diabetes.
It also looks like a shit. If you've never seen one before, you're like, why is he giving me a shit?
Yeah, exactly. It looks like the chocolate from, like, Caddyshack.
Yes.
Bill Murray.
The one in the pool.
And he's, I understand that. Well, he's looking at going, and you put this in your mouth, you fucking human pervert.
That's disgusting.
Because that could have been a prank. Going, if a guy walks up to you holding a turd and says, "Eat this," you don't go, "Well, I hate to be rude."
Yeah,
you eat it first, cunt.
They should have had, because if he's the former, and they should have done a Flintstones thing, where he pulls the cat's tail. And it squeals for the horn for the work to be finished. And then he slides down the back of a dog and gets in a car made out of rocks.
Well, funny you should say this.
Oh, yeah.
Because do you know who the first choice was for the James Spader role?
Who?
Rick Moranis, and he turned it down to do Flintstones.
Good man.
Yeah. I don't know to the extent Rick Moranis would have worked in this part.
No, I don't think he would have done. I can't imagine. It's one of those ones I can't imagine anyone but James Spader playing this, even though he doesn't really bring his James Spader-ness to it.
He brings a lot to it.
Yeah, but he's not like the usual kind of knowing. He's quite sort of
goofy.
He's goofy, and he everything's a huge wonder and surprise.
Also, I did not remember that James Spader was properly hot for about 8 months in the early 90s.
For 8 months, yeah.
Because there was Sex, Lies, and Videotape, yeah. This. Was there one called White Heat that he was in, or I made that up?
There was one, White Sands.
White Sands, that White was Sands. It.
Jack's White Back. Was,
yeah. And then no offence to him, but he must have made a chunk of money.
Yeah.
Put all that money into, with all due respect to him, carbohydrates. Because he's still a very talented actor. But he is aged in a way that most movie stars don't. Like, he hasn't gone, I need a bit of work. Mm. He's gone, I need more white flour.
And bless him, his beautiful, luscious hair, which is on full display here, betrayed him as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, towards the end of the 90s, his hair just went, all right, bye.
Bye, cheers.
He's great, though. I mean, I still think that that second Avengers film, as bloated and as annoying as it is, he's one of the best things in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I've only seen that once in the cinema. I never watch a Marvel film.
It's not good. It's not good. But his voice and character is interesting.
Yeah, and I started watching a show recently, Blacklist, which is him as an international terrorist who starts helping the FBI.
He wears a hat.
Who wears a hat. Yeah. Which you know why now.
Well, we do, yeah.
Because I miss my hair.
Well, I've worked out recently that most guys you see these days who are wearing hats all the time, I think it's because they've got a really good head of hair underneath that they don't want to spoil.
I hate to brag.
Yeah. They've got one of those, you know those things you can make where it's like in a bell jar and it's full of plants?
Yeah.
And you keep it perfectly preserved.
Yeah.
From the outside. It's like that. If they take it off, their hair falls out.
It's my head. It's the perfect ecosystem.
Exactly. It's like the edge. You know, he even walked his daughter down the aisle wearing a beanie.
That's right. We've talked about that before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's that. Like, I've noticed the singer Gaz Coombs, who I've got a lot of time for, he's always sporting a trilby. I've even seen him out and about wearing a trilby. I just think he must have a great head of hair under there. Maybe he's got a wedding the next day.
I would. Because you're right. And I think a lot of rich people do that. But thing is, there's really good work being done with hair transplants these days.
Yep.
I'm surely someone has shown the edge of, like, a brochure and gone, and it's like, listen, I got you one for Beanie Digest, and this one is a pamphlet for Laser Head.
Do you think the edge has now gone over the edge, to pardon the pun, that if he did suddenly rock up with, like, a luscious side part in, it would look really weird?
No, well, yeah, but theoretically, we don't know what's under that beanie.
That's right.
There could be
Jimmy Hoffa.
There could be Jimmy Hoffa. God, that'd be like the
Maddie. Okay, thanks.
Fucking hell. That'd be amazing to wake up for, like, so how was the operation? Yeah, good, successful. We successfully integrated your head with Jimmy Hoffa. What?
I imagine if they removed that beanie, it'd be like that bit in Jaws where Hooper has to cut open that tiger shark. There's like a license plate, a boot,
but
load of milk.
Oh yeah, and we also actually on this occasion, sadly, we did find the Kitna boy underneath the edges beanie.
Yeah, I think like you say, you don't really see celebs wearing toupees anymore because they can afford to have plugs or implants or whatever.
Yeah,
and I think it's a lost art. It used to be great seeing like Frank Sinatra or someone turn up with this really weird wig.
Yeah, with the little washing instructions dangling on the back. Yeah,
with the little inch gap at the back of the neckline where it doesn't quite fit.
But from my understanding, I haven't looked into it yet, but the day's going to come where you can have really good, you can have surgery, you can have it bunged back on.
Yeah. Yeah. So why hasn't James Spader done that?
because he doesn't, because he's like, I don't give a fuck.
I'll wear a hat.
I think he doesn't give a fuck.
I think he's like, you know what? I don't need to spend that. I've got a hat.
Actually, is he one of those guys who divorced his wife and ended up with a much younger girlfriend?
Oh, I don't know.
Let's have a look, because that might be A, where his money's gone, and why he doesn't give a fuck. Let's have a look. Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Oh, she's way younger than him. Get out.
Good for him. Good for her.
Good for all of them.
Yeah. In many ways, it returns back to our theme of the perfect eco-harmony under the hat, also in his life.
Yeah. Yeah, good for... Oh, yeah. Do you know what? They got kids together. I'm not going to judge.
No. Do you think he leaves the hat on during lovemaking?
Well, I suppose you want to depend how rambunctious it's going to get, because you don't want it falling off. That would be the worst thing. If you take the hat off before having sex and they go, listen, this is what you're dealing with, they're like, okay.
Yeah.
But if you're halfway through and you're just getting to the vinegar strokes and then the hat falls off, you're like, oh, he's ruined this. Oh, God.
Or if you're looking, because it's a delicate balance, literally, because you could be looking like Philip Marlowe at the beginning. And then, as you say, during vinegar strokes, the hat could go at a jaunty angle. Yeah, yeah. And you could end up looking like Jimmy Cricket.
Okay, at the start, he was fucking me. He looked like Philip Marlowe, but then he looked like Philip Green. It was horrible.
So, yeah. Yeah, something to think about, anyway.
We have.
Oh, we have too much.
Yeah, we have. Enjoy that image, everyone.
So then he learns that the tribe... Yeah, they see him and he's fed.
You know what? I genuinely forgot we were talking about Stargate.
Yeah, so did I.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.